The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Okay, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is, believe it or not, August 4th, 2016, and go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, free book. All you have to do is commit, take action, real simple. We talk about that all the time here. Also, strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. Those are the two biggest projects, products I have to date. Once again, if you like what we talk about here, you know, it's shot in HD. I narrate it. You go to the other winner's circle. Those are 12 modules. That's all on my own. If you like what I talk about, you're going to love that. And it gives you everything from high shrugs right through to power rack training, the stone lifting, the old school York iron boots. A lot of forgotten things that we are bringing back more and more to center stage here, and I couldn't be happier. And I got a note from one gentleman that's doing high shrugs now. I've got another doctor, an MD, Jeffrey Smith, who's been on here, who loves him too. So we're spreading the word, and we're bringing old school back, man, and that stuff works. Before I bring Jed Johnson in today, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at the stuff Jed and I have done together. It's incredible stuff. Where are you going to find content like that for free? We are more content rich than anybody I know out there. You know, when you got guys like Will Dinwiddie on, we got Jed Johnson on today, we got Jim Romig on, brand new the other day, Brandy Holloman, Roger LaPointe, David Whitley, Kenny Nowicki, Dr. William Wong, Steve Cotter, Clint Darden, the list goes on and on and on. And I don't mean to slight anyone, but we'll be sitting here reading it all day. What I'm trying to say is we hit just about every note, and we're going to hit bigger and bigger. Jim Romig, who was the first guy besides Will Dinwiddie that fought competitively in MMA, was on the other day. The show was incredible. We're just getting better and better every day. I couldn't be happier about it. Let me think a couple things. Well, I'm going to say this in the beginning, and then I'm going to bring Jed in, and I'm going to give you a little bio on him too. Big news, and if you haven't heard it, it's big. We are now streaming 24/7 live as a radio show. We can be found on Google Play Music. We're on TuneIn, Shoutcast, AHA, which that's AHA. All the new cars have the capability for podcasting in them. And Alpine is making an aftermarket stereo now to do that too. Podcasting is going to be the biggest thing you're going to see in the next 10, 20 years. It is huge, and we haven't even cracked the egg yet. Check us out all over the place now. We're looking right now. We're in the midst of dealing with Apple TV, Bose, and there's many more. I can't announce it until the stuff goes through. It's very, very exciting. Also, too, as I told Jed and a few other people, we've announced it on the radio, there's a very, very good possibility what I've wanted to do from the beginning. We're going to be live by year's end. We will see. If not, 2017 will be the biggest year you ever see here, at least for right now, because there's two big projects in the works besides everything else going on in the gym outside and all that. But we got our good friend Jed Johnson on today, and I want to give you a little bit of information on this gentleman soon as I slide this thing down. All right, here we go. Jed's a speaker, a performing strongman, and three-time national grip strength champion. And he's real knowledgeable guy. And like I've heard about him before Jed came on with the family, Mike Bruce pushed me to really get him on. He said he's a guy that doesn't hold back information, and he's always willing to help people. When I heard that, I mean, I'd seen him out there. I respect what he does. But you know something? I respect more that he takes what he knows in the gym and can really help people. That's what we're here. I found that more exciting than lifting the biggest weight. And believe me, I love lifting weights and big stones. But the idea, man, is we give back. That's what it's all about. Jed, welcome to the show, brother.
Eric, thanks for having me on, man. I just took a break from hitting sets of curls. It's August of Arms time right now, dude. So
yep.
I need a little rest period, and I thought, what better way to do it than to cover a podcast with you, dude. So
thanks
a lot, my man. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime.
Man, incredible news about the growth and the explosion and the new opportunities, Eric. I'm really excited for you, dude. Glad to hear all that stuff, man.
Yeah, and you know, as I always say, Jed, you're part of the family, and you know, anything I do here, we want to help all of not only our listeners, family, but you know, all the guys and gals that come on here and help me out, support me. You know, what I do is going to trickle to all of you, and I couldn't be happier because that's what it's all about, man. You know, we train hard. You know, you're out there busting your ass every day, business-wise, lifting-wise, trying to help people out, trying to make a living here. You know, that's the best thing of all, and I thank you for the compliments, and I'm glad you're in our family for sure. We're going to talk – well, this is what kind of spurred me on because you know, as everybody knows, Eddie Hall did a 500-kilo deadlift a few weeks ago. You know, I'm seeing all over Facebook he's working with David Horn a little bit with some grip stuff. So that makes me think, you know, we're going to go for something bigger. Obviously, World's Strongest Man is coming up within the next 2 weeks, and he'll be in that. Now that Zivikas went out on injury, which I'm really disappointed, I am going to really miss seeing him there. And we're going to see now how everything's going to fan out. It's going to be a little different. But I wanted to talk to Jed because Jed is, you know, a grip monster, in my opinion, and he does some amazing feats. And we're going to talk about today what Jed would do if, let's say, he had Eddie Hall or he had a guy that wanted to go from a 300 to a 400-pound deadlift in X amount of time. What would Jed set him up doing? How would he coach him? And how would we get to that point? And we're going to talk about more of an intermediate lifter, of course, but somebody that's really got guts and grit, too, where Jed doesn't have to be screaming at him. So, Jed, obviously I'm, you know, happy as shit you're back on the show. But let's talk a little bit about the deadlift and how you would approach it and bring somebody in that really wants to, you know, get the hands, the fingers, everything so much stronger because they want to up 100 pounds in their deadlift, which is phenomenal. So take it away.
All right, buddy. Well, I'll tell you what, man. I've worked with a lot of people on deadlift, especially, you know, most of the people that I've trained have been, you know, probably like 16-year-old athletes and then all the way up to, I have a couple guys that are in their mid-40s. And honestly, it's almost confusing to me why people have grip problems because none of the guys that I've trained have ever had problems with their grip.
Okay.
So I think there must be something as far as like their initial lifting that is, that is throwing them off. Okay. So it could be like when they're first introduced to lifting, they're also introduced to straps or some kind of a grip enhancing device and they become dependent on it, or their bodies are just stronger than their hands, period. So, I mean, that could be caused by any number of things. I'm seeing an article every single week in my email about how millennials have a weaker grip than any other generation. So, so it could be something that is coming from, you know, years and years of inappropriately working the hands, incorrectly working the hands. It's real. I mean, it's crazy, dude. None of the people that I train ever have a problem with grip. The only person that's, I haven't had a single person drop a deadlift, drop a hex bar deadlift, anything like that. Nobody has dropped anything. The only one that's had any problem with any grip at all, gripping on to stuff, has been girls with very, very small hands. So, so it's kind of weird to me, but, you know, as I look at it, I also don't have any of these guys use any straps on anything, from the moment that they come in for, you know, until several months down the road. So I think it has something to do with the introductory period where they're getting into lifting, that things are not being addressed appropriately, and they're not developing a foundation of strength. A lot of people that I talk to that I don't train on, they never train any grip, which isn't a surprise to me, but they also don't train any forearms. So, so that could be something. But I think what it all comes down to is just the foundational strength of their hands is lacking based on both, social factors, and, you know, just, their introductory status in lifting.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, though. All right, so if they come in and you figure out, obviously, they've never done much grip work at all, they're to their zenith, max deadlift right now, or anything, you know, or a bent row, anything that's pulling motion. What do you feel, you know, what do you start them off with? Because obviously we know that it could be more factors than that, but let's stick with the grip and the pull.
Yeah.
What are you going to walk them in with? Because I mean, you know, you're an established grip guy. There's no doubt about it. You know, you're tops in the world. We know that. But you know, the thing I see you in video, which I think is very good as a teacher, is, and I say this all the time, you've got to be able to take what you can do and knock it right down to their level. So we're going to bring an 18, 20-year-old kid. He's got a deadlift of 250. He wants to go to 300, which could be very well in his realm. But he's never going to be able to get that with bare hands. He's going to have to keep trying with straps, and we know your position and mine on that. What do you do with them at that point? How do you get them started, motivated, and obviously you want to see results as fast as you can, and we know that's hard. But you know, when you're talking bellies of the forearm, we know we can get those guys going a little bit. So what, how does Jed Johnson walk in and establish what we need to do with a younger client, and the time frame, and get them very enthused and fired up?
So this is what I would do, man, and this is what I do pretty much with all my guys when they come in, is there's far more work that's being done with these guys pulling style exercises than pushing exercises. So I break the mentality of beach muscles right away. Like, we do probably twice as many pulls as opposed to, pushes. So I think right there, that starts loading the hands better. So we're talking about pull-ups, shrugs, pull downs, dumbbell rows, all kinds of things, all kinds of variations of those exercises. Even if they can't do, if they're a younger kid and they can't do actual pull-ups yet, then I'm having them pull with their body deloaded by having their feet on the floor.
Yeah.
And they pull with bent knees. Okay.
Yep.
So
yep.
Right away, their hands are getting worked differently than they're used to doing it. So your hands will respond quickly if you do it right. I think the problem is people try to add weight too fast on the deadlift, and they forget about doing like higher volume workouts. So one of the things that I do is on the girls that I was talking about earlier, I'll work them very high as far as their current one rep max is, but I only have them do one or two repetitions, because I know that they can handle one or two repetitions on that weight. If I throw 10 more pounds on there, it might slip out of their hand because of their hand size. But but they can do one or two reps in a set multiple times. I just had the one girl I train who's, I believe, 14. She just did six sets of two, and they were all 85% of her max or higher. In fact, she actually set a new PR today. So, you know, that's something that people can do also. So you got like a lot of pulling exercises that are submaximal for, you know, like your rows and things like that. You've got near max deadlifts, but you do more attempts on it. And then the other thing is you drop it down a little bit lighter, and you do a whole bunch more reps on your deadlift. Yeah. So, I mean, strength is really built in like the, you know, 3 to 5 rep range area anyway. You don't need to do all those heavy singles and constantly try to go for PRs. If you do that, you're going to burn yourself out anyway. So there's really no sense in doing it. It makes no sense to constantly try to pull heavier weight. You want to be in the 3 to 5 rep range. And, dude, if you're dropping rep number 5 on your last set, that's really not that big of a deal. You know, you've already done, you know, 9 to 14 other repetitions or whatever in that exercise. If you miss one, it's not a big deal. So, you know, you got to look at it like that. The other thing is you don't want to do dumb stuff that's not going to carry over.
Right.
You don't want to be jumping up on a bar and hanging for time.
Yeah.
That's not going to do anything for you. And then I tell people that, and they're like, well, what if I hang from one arm? Well, I mean, why? That's more like a stunt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I
don't see that carrying over as well either. But you just have to remember that it's not just deadlifting that is going to be wearing out your hands. It's all the other stuff you're doing. So you got to place the deadlift in the right spot in both your training session and your training week. So I'm not going to test someone's heavy deadlift on Friday if on Thursday they just did a whole bunch of endless pull-ups, rows, and shrugs. That's not going to make a lot of sense either. So sometimes it takes a little bit of foresight and planning on where you're going to place everything too.
Well, let me ask you this. You mentioned like one arm stuff. Is it good? Do you feel we didn't even get into thick bars and stuff, and that's going to be my next question.
That's a whole other subject. Let's table that for a couple minutes.
Okay. When we get to that point and we're trying to do all these combos, now, do we want to do more of a specialization routine to say we want to go from that 300 to 350 deadlift, meaning, you know, for everybody out there, we're going to kind of minimize some of the other stuff we're doing where we're not going to be shooting maxes on a squat or not going to be overhead or, you know, trying to annihilate the biggest bench press because we know at that age bench press is real. You know, that to most people that it's not how much you squat or deadlift, it's how much you bench, which that's not my way of thinking at all. But, you know, when you're 18, 20, 22 years old, that's what matters. How are we going to make all this style of stuff where we're going to enhance, obviously, the hands, the fingers, the wrists, the bellies of the forearms, anything that's going to attach to an Olympic bar and eventually pull that thing off the ground clean, no straps, no nothing. How do we work that in, Jed, into your regular training, or are we going to build our training now specifically around the deadlift itself?
No, I would, if you want to go from 300 to 350 and you're seriously having trouble with it, then I would, I would plan out 6 to 8 weeks of training where your main emphasis is deadlift. And I would make squat less of a priority. I would deprioritize that. I would deprioritize deadlift, bench pressing. Sorry. And you know, other big movements, like if you're doing stuff like heavy farmer's walks or Atlas stones, you know, these things that are very complex movements that involve multiple joints, you know, all those things are going to have to take a little bit of a back seat for a while so that you can put more focus onto the deadlift. So, yes, I would move towards specialization for 6 to 8 week period. Yes.
Yeah. In that 6 to 8 week period, I mean, I know we put off with the thick stuff for a while. Where is our focus going to be on mainly then at this point? If we're going to specifically do, I know you said chins and stuff, but what else specifically do we want to get into to enhance, obviously, our grip to be able to eventually pull this beast off the ground? And are we going to run that on the same day when we're working the deadlift, or do we want to introduce the heavier grip day on its own with whatever else we're going to do auxiliary wise, or how do you want to mate all that stuff up?
There's a few ways to do it. I would first off start your week off when you're freshest on the deadlift, on your heaviest deadlift day. I would put that first. I would stick in a second day of deadlift probably towards the end of the week. And that workout might be all double overhand, even like some of the thumbless variations. Cause you have, you know, double overhand is when both hands are pronated. And then the question is, are you using your thumbs or not? So if your hand's closed and your thumb is on the back side of the bar, then that's a full grip. That's a closed grip. If and there's two variations of thumbless. Pure thumbless is where the thumb doesn't touch anything. It's all fingers. And then you got monkey grip thumbless, which is where the thumb flips over on the same side as the fingers, on the same side of your as your palm on the bar. So you can use a variety of all of those, and you probably want to even track your max lifts on all those. They're probably going to be within about 15 pounds of one another anyway, but you know, I'm a little bit more obsessive, so I keep track of all that stuff. And sometimes you'll PR on one a lot more just because of your biomechanics. You know, people with smaller hands have a tendency to have to gooseneck more, flex their wrist more if they're going to go thumbless than people with larger hands. So I can stay in like a fairly neutral wrist position or wrist extended position when I go thumbless. And that's actually a like naturally a more stronger position for your hand, like a stronger position for your hand with a slight extension. So if you have to gooseneck when you're doing deadlifting like that, then you're probably putting yourself in a position where biomechanically you're a bit weaker. The other thing is, you know, a lot of stuff changes when you take your thumb off the bar, because if you do gooseneck more, that means you're probably going to have more of a forward lean on your deadlift, and there's going to be more pressure on your back. So all this stuff has to be taken into consideration, and most people don't even realize that stuff. So all that stuff has to be kept aware of. And a lot of it, if you're lifting alone, I've said it before, you got to get yourself some kind of a camera, whether you're just logging your lifts for that day on your phone, or if you've got a flip cam, or if you've got some old VHS model, man, you know, blow the dust off it, get a tripod, and start analyzing your lifts, because all that stuff makes a difference. On that forward lean stuff, man, if that bar is swinging out away from you, whether you're going double overhand or if you've got an alternated grip, it is going to work towards pulling out of your hands when it swings forward. So it could even be a mechanical issue that's throwing things off. Man, I got a little off track there. I don't know what we were exactly talking about in that segment, but you know, the point is there's a lot of stuff you got to be aware of, and it's not just one quick Band-Aid that's going to fix all that stuff. You got to be there's a lot of stuff to be aware of.
Yeah, without a doubt. What we were basically just talking about, you know, would you obviously we're going to do deadlifts twice a week. The focus mainly was are we going to integrate X number of grip pieces of work with the heavy deadlift or the lighter, or are we going to specialize on that? And maybe you say, okay, on the heavy day, you do one movement. On the lighter day, we're going to do three movements with it to enhance the grip, because we're not going to be beating the hands and the wrists up on the lighter day of the two. A big thing, too, that I love, but I want to get your feeling on this, especially when you want to really load a bar up that right now is a little bit beyond your capabilities, obviously deadlifting out of the rack at all the different points, doing partials. What's your feeling on that when we're going after a big lift like that?
I think it's great. I think it's great as long as it's being tracked. As long as you know how much bar is on there and you're writing that stuff down and tracking it and then gradually working your way down to the floor, I think it's great. The one thing that I would absolutely tell people not to do, and unfortunately this is the first thing that most people do because of marketing that takes place out there, is they think, I can't hold on to the bar on the deadlift. My grip is weak. I got to start pulling on an axle or a thick bar, a thick-handled barbell. That is not the case. That they're two different things. Your support grip is where your hand is fully wrapped around the bar, or at least your hand, your fingers are around the bar. The wider you go, the more the lift becomes pinch. It becomes a different discipline of grip, and you're going to limit the amount of carryover that you're getting onto the bar. So I would suggest using the bar as much as possible. Your actual powerlifting bar, Olympic bar that you use, I would use that or something very similar in size as much as you can for your exercises. You can do
You can do
thick bar stuff, but use it as a way to enhance your grip, not as a way to train the deadlift, because I feel that the deadlift should be, you should just stick with deadlifts with the bar to avoid any of those mechanical changes that take place when you go to thick bar.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would even say you could stick the thick bar stuff, like the axle stuff, on one of your deadlift days, but it is not, just make sure you're not making that your primary work. Make sure that that is accessory work for your hands, and just keep that in mind that it's not a one-to-one comparison when you're going, just because you enhance your axle deadlift by 50 pounds, that doesn't mean you're going to jump back over to that barbell and pull 350.
You're
not going to put necessarily 50 pounds on the bar just because you put 50 pounds on the axle.
Well, let me ask you this, as far as with the thick bars, okay, because we know that everybody likes to use them. I use them mostly for my grip now, but
yes.
I'm not taking that and destroying the other lifts with it either.
Right.
I use it as a compliment. You know, that's what you want to do. Because a lot of people are going to say to me, well, you know, that's going to make your lift. I don't believe that, because, I mean, if you're doing a variation of different thick things you're using, whether it's blocks or, you know, God, I've got so many things out there, you know, like Titans for your fingers, you know, obviously the conventional grip machines, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You can go out and see a million things. And I know what you're saying with the chins and all that, but let's just knock it down to one big grip movement with the heavy day. And let's just, for interest, and if you think I'm off, that's fine. You can tell me whatever you think. But let's take one grip enhancer on the heavy deadlift day and two enhancers on the lighter day. What in your opinion, besides the pull-up, would lay the golden goose, so to speak, the egg?
I would look at doing holds for time with the barbell and work over your one rep max if you can.
Okay.
As close to it or over it as you can, because and use the grip, the exact grip, man, as close as you can get to it, to your regular competition pull. However you're going to pull the deadlift from the floor, that's how you would do it for these heavy rack pull and holds. In order to get that fine tuning in there of the mechanics. Because if you start changing a bunch of stuff and like, oh, I can pull more weight if I go with my hands a little bit wider, don't do that.
Yep.
Don't be tempted to do that. Use the same grip that you would, the same positioning as you would pulling from the floor. So I would make that one of the keys, man. One of the biggest things. You do not leave the gym on that heavy day without doing some super heavy holds for time. And then I can give you a couple variations on that if you'd like. If you can throw some band tension on that so that you're pulling against band tension, so that the higher you pull that bar, the heavier it gets. That's another good one. As well as chains. If you can throw chains on the bar, that way when you're pulling from the floor, as you get further away, it gets heavier and you're trying to just squeeze that thing for all it's worth. So those are some of the main ones.
Well, I agree, especially with the chains, because, you know, one of the big things is you're building a hell of a pathway when you're pulling.
Yeah.
You see people, like, they'll start off good and suddenly it looks like they're twisting all over the place and it's like something's not right there. And it's like that's a beautiful way to build not only strength, explosive strength, because when you're pulling – at the bottom, it's going to be lighter, and as you keep pulling, it's going to get heavier and heavier as the chain starts to come off the floor. Very, very smart way to do things, and it's not going to be something that's going to be damaging you. That's the main thing, because when you're trying to go for something that big, you're going to put a lot of wear and tear if you want to hit something within 8 weeks, and you're going to have to be really diligent in how you do things. And, the main thing here is to recover, be able to get back to the next workout and do even better there and be able to keep enhancing that week after week after week. Here's something. The grip, obviously, is the bullet for all this. But you and I have talked on numerous shows, and the show we did on the posterior chain was awesome. Now, I don't know how many people talk about this stuff, but it's very important, I believe, to go with the grip, obviously. And I want your opinion on it. If you think I'm right, wrong, or whatever, I'm all ears.
Sure.
How much, you know, I think the posterior chain plays very big in anything, especially when you're pulling deadlifts, rows, stones, obviously hamstrings. We know how important the hip girdle is. How do you feel that plays into, you know, a championship deadlift, basically, besides enhancing the grip?
It's huge. The stronger you can get your ass and hips, the better. Ass, hips, lower back, hammies, all that stuff. The stronger, the better.
Okay, Jed, I don't want to interrupt you, but I want to ask you this question, and you can just take it for whatever, how long you want to do it. Then why don't we hear a lot of this stuff?
Because you can't see that stuff.
I knew you'd say it. Yep.
You rarely see a guy bragging about their ass. You know what I mean?
So
many of these Instagram chicks, they're twerking and getting 6,000 likes because they do like 8 glute exercises. You know?
Yeah.
So I think we could probably all benefit from doing more glute exercises just for lower back health. So a lot of it has to do with the fact that still, despite your efforts, my efforts, and so many of our efforts, you know, the people that are going to the gym are doing it in order to look good from the belt line up. And the belt line down doesn't get as much attention in those circles. So it's kind of a culture shock kind of thing when people start hearing about, you need a stronger lower back and glutes. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's the funny thing, because you hit on the head. I mean, I see so many people out there, girls mainly, out on Facebook where, you know, they've got their ass in the air or whatever it is. And it's like, I know what you're selling there. You know what I mean? I know, like you said, you want to get 1,000 looksies or whatever, and that's what it's about. But, it's not the glamorous thing to talk about, you know. Glutes, spinal erectors, you know, rhomboids, traps. It's it's the same way with a hip girdle. I've talked to people because I like doing a lot of hip work, like the old style York guys did, like Grimmick with the iron boots. You would never think something like that could have such an effect on that musculature. But if you know how to use those boots and you load them with the proper weights through the center, you can do magnificent things. Now, I do, you know, regular pulls, all that, but I'll tell you right now, one of the greatest developers I've ever had for my hamstrings is the, you know, lying down reverse curl with the iron boots, because you can load those things to like 80 pounds. It's not like 80 pounds you feel on a machine or anything like that. When you do these things even at 10 pounds, it feels like your hamstrings literally are going to pop off your bones. They're so damn big. You can feel the tight. You know, so, you know, when we talk about that explosive deadlift with that super duper hand strength, man, it's like all those pieces are in the mix. But, you know, unless you go to somebody like you or some teachers on the show, I don't think you're going to find, well, we're not going to find that in the local gym.
No,
we know that,
no.
You know, and you're not going to find partials because most of them won't even own a power rack. So, you know, you see these guys, you know, I'll see them, well, I'm doing 225 for like 15 reps. Well, that's good, man. But, I mean, where is the incentive now to even go any further than that? And I've heard people say, too, and this is guys. I've talked to bodybuilders before, and they're like, why do I want to get a big ass, or why do I want my – you know, you remember – what the hell is the word I want to use? God, I can't think of the name of it. It's – oh, geez, man, it's your waist. I can't think of the word with the waist.
Wasp?
No. What is it when it's overdeveloped and they hate it? It's not your hip flexors, right? It's
the psoas?
No, it'll come to me, but it's something like I'm like, these guys are worried. You know what it is? They don't like it because they don't want to get a thick waist. And I'm like, if you got muscle packed around your waist, and I'm talking real muscle, I mean, that could save you from anything in life, man. And it's like, What do you want? You want a girl's figure? I mean, you know, come on, will you? I mean, those things are vital, especially when you're pulling, like, trees out of the ground, you know, and stuff like that. It's absolutely amazing. I guess the next question is this. How do you – I mean, obviously, unless you've got a coach like yourself or me or somebody out there that's going to really monitor – this person going for the weights and can make the corrections and whatever they got to do. I mean, other than and somebody searching you out, or I hate to say use the internet because I think 95% of it's total BS. What do they do at that point? I mean, just go for it and see what happens and pass or fail. But you know what I mean? You know, habits you build. You build habits with your strength, you build habits with your lifting, and you definitely build habits with your mind. What do you do at that point? I mean, where do you go? If you can't find someone, what do you do at that point, you think?
Well, I mean, are you asking how they can get a hold of me, or what do you?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's fine. You can give that out. But what I'm saying is, all right, so we've got you, an established lifter,
yeah.
The, you know, a grip machine, you know, a guy that's been around, a guy that's done stuff, all right? But, you know, we've got people all over the place that are looking for you know, searching out whatever. Maybe you've had some bad runs along the way with people and have just missed and failed miserably at it. And now they think maybe they got it and they go down the pipe again. What do you tell somebody like that when they come to you? And how do you convince them that, hey, look, we've got the stuff here. I've got the ability to help you through this and push you. I mean, obviously, you're going to have to take this on your own. What do you tell them at that point, Jed? Because a lot of times, you know, you and I both know, you're dealing with clients that could have been very competitive at one time or just want to get off the couch now and learn how to do something. And the deadlift is one of the greatest movements to learn, obviously. What do you tell them at that point? How do you convince them that Jed Johnson is the guy who can get you, you know, up on your feet and going again?
Well, I would say you can just forget about all the failures and stuff you have. Now's the time that you're going to actually enjoy stuff that you're doing because you're going to start doing it right. It's like a rebirth, man. It's a renaissance. It's you get to start over from scratch and get going again and make it happen this time. You know, you can't blame people for not knowing what to do, man, because they're only doing what they've been told, and probably the people that have told them that are telling them the same thing they were told 20 years ago. So, you know, unfortunately, bad knowledge gets handed down just like folklore. So, but, you know, the good thing is take a breath of fresh air because now you know what you got to do. And now you just set one foot in front of the other and you start working towards that goal and you just have to commit to it. And it's not going to be overnight. It's going to be a couple months down the road, minimum.
Yeah.
Like we said that earlier, you got to devote 6 to 8 weeks to this and it might take a little bit longer, but so what? Even if you fail again in a few months, who cares? You will eventually get there. 50 pounds on a deadlift is not something that only the most elite lifters in the world can do. I think most people can do that. Maybe not everybody, but I think most people can do that. But it takes time. I didn't do the stuff that I'm doing, you know, inside of a couple weeks. You know what I mean?
I hope not.
No.
Jesus.
It may seem that way, and it may seem like I knock out feats one after the other, but I might have been working on them for 3 years in order to do all these feats. So, you know, I guess people just have to look at it the right way and they can do this. It just takes time and you got to let the process do it. And it can't be something that you're going to work on hard for 2 weeks and then change goals and do something else. I see so much of that out there. It drives me insane. I just wish people would stick to something for minimum of 6 to 8 weeks and commit to stuff, man.
Well, and I think that's the biggest thing of all. We've talked about this before. Everything out there is being sold on, not everything, but a good bunch of it is 90 days. Okay. Now let's examine the people that are teaching it. Most of them are probably at that point, they're not really modeling a lot anymore, but they were models, both men and women.
Right.
probably bodybuilders, you know, athletes maybe that are not even relevant anymore, whether they're nationally known or known in the area. So right there is an unrealistic goal, because how many people are built like that? And most of the time they're either dieting all the time or they're just starving themselves. And, you know, it looks great. You know, they're muscled, or as they like to say, they're chiseled. They're nothing to me, because I mean, you look at their hands are tiny, their wrists aren't big, you know, they've got a woman's shape, or they got, you know, it's great to have wide shoulders and you know, lats and all that, but, you know, they taper down to this little tiny waist. So, you know, my thing with not only hands and neck and all that, it's usually, you don't have this, have to have this protruding waist, but man, when you got a hip girdle that's strong and built, holy God, man, there's no way your waist can't look like big and tough, you know? Yeah. And it's like, that's how I rate stuff, you know? Those are the guys and gals that can just take massive things, whether it's farmers, tires, yokes, and just get under them, get over them, and just go bananas on them. That's what it's about to me. But we are in a different, we're in a marketing place where these people, I understand they make a lot of money, but in the interim, the people that are getting hurt are the ones out there listening to this stuff. And when you want to tackle a 350-pound deadlift, I got news for you. Throwing around little weights, pumping your arms and pecs are not going to do it for you.
Right, right.
And the biggest thing of all is, and I would say this more than anything right now because of so many things I've seen not only in person with people and on TV, is this. The mental end, you better have when you come into stuff like this, because it's going, if that's not the case and you just have a little bit of drib and drab with it, you're going to be in not only for a rude awakening, you're going to do one or two things. You're going to be able to rise with it, or you're going to have to quit it. There's not going to be an in between when you do that. And Jed, Eric, anybody on the show is only going to be able to take you so far with things. And the thing I hate more than anything, Jed, is watching people, even if their clients fail, wash out. Everybody has that, or they find some other guy, some guru over Facebook that promises you everything, but all you have to do is deposit $5,000 in their account, and you're all set. You and I both know that's a load of shit, and they're going to get ripped off, and they're not going to get anywhere. So, you know, the approach to things really is the biggest thing. You know, I always say, especially like with the show and everything we do, you really got to – it's one thing to show people that, you know, you can yank a Thomas Inch or two of them. I mean, that's very impressive. That's going to impress even the novice out there, whether they're a lifter or they're one of these guys or gals that, you know, got to have sports on 24/7 and live vicariously through it. But, you know, the real thing that is the most, where I would give the most admiration, is how can you take all that stuff, being the personality you are, transcend it to these people and get them so motivated and so on point that it's almost, you know, it is, it's a metamorphosis in their life. So what do you think? I mean, with your personality, with how you like to deal with people, how do you get them to buy right in with you, and you pretty much can get them in motion and they don't want to stop at that point?
Well, a lot of times what I like to do is take people, I try to take people back to a time where they won something, or they worked real hard for something and got it, whether it was like a little league game, or, you know, maybe they were track athletes or something like that, and they won a 100-yard dash, or maybe it was some time when they worked their ass off for years and got a promotion or something like that. And I tell them, think about how good that felt when you got that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You can see it changes. Their eyes change. Their expression on their face changes. You know, you get a little chuckle out of them. They're like, yeah, I remember that. I'm like, well, that's how good it's going to feel when you do this 350-pound deadlift, brother. That's how good it's going to feel. So,
and you know what the nice thing, Jed, is? Yeah. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's it. That's it, dude.
Well, you know what the good thing you're doing, too? I mean, you know what you're doing, and it works. And this comes from experience and getting really blasted yourself for years and learning. When you can get them to think about a prior experience that brought them great joy, when you can take that and put that right into what you're doing with them, you got a winner there, man.
Yeah.
You got a winning program. And you know something? It's very important. You know, it's almost like When you get them that motivated and thinking, wow, I did that before, now I can do this, yeah, you're going to have those down days, and you have days where you're going to want to quit, and you're going to have other days where you want to set the world on fire. But that is like a hell of a winning formula to bring back the good feelings of their life, something they accomplished, something they want to do, and they can do it. That, to me, is really the fire. Yeah. You know, you light that fire internally, and you're going to have a winning attitude all the way. And, you know, people still don't take that stuff seriously about building winning attitudes. I believe that is one of the biggest fundamentals with weight training or anything in your life. When you can fundamentally win every time, no matter what happens, you've won mentally, what the hell is going to stop you? And, you know, it isn't going to take 3 years. It might only take you 18 months. The idea is your attitude, how it goes into what you're eating, how you're resting, how you have relationships with people. Very important and vital. But the biggest thing is when you jump on that platform and pull that 350 pounds like it's not even there, then you've accomplished the biggest goal of all. You've won. So, I mean, that's how I look at it. You can, if you want to say anything to that. Otherwise, you know, why don't you, unless you've got some other stuff to say about the deadlift, summarize? Go ahead.
One other thing I wanted to say, kind of bridging off of what you just said there, is the thing that I try to get people to think about is the time that you're putting into the weight room.
Yep.
Is your time. You're doing that for you. You're not doing that for your boss. You're not doing that for your parents. You're not doing that for your wife. You're not doing that for your kids. You're there. It's the one chance that you get during the day where you're doing something for you. And it can go beyond that. You can even support your work in the gym by what you do when you're, you know, making choices on fluids that you drink. Are you drinking enough water? Are you getting the right food that you need to eat? All that stuff, the rest, are you choosing to watch late night with whoever's covering for David Letterman this week? Or are you going to get the rest that you need so you can hit it hard the next day? All that stuff, that's really a little bit different from our conversation. It's related because all that stuff is going to help strengthen your grip for the deadlift and bring your deadlift up. But at the same time, just as a global, more global thing, and I don't even like to use the word global anymore, but just as an all-encompassing thing around your weightlifting, that's your time. And if you're going in there and you're worrying about some time that you failed on a deadlift before, you're taking away from your time. You want to think in the way that everything that you are doing right now is to improve your training and get the very most out of that time. Don't be texting. Don't be uploading videos in the middle of your workout. Do that later while you're eating or something like that. Stay focused on what you're doing and get as much as you possibly can out of every single training session.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know something? We see pictures of that all over. That'd be the day I'd be texting weightlifting. I would hope one of my buddies would smash me right in the face. I'm not kidding you when I say that. No, you know what I'm saying, man? It's like, this is the problem. You got too many toys out there to play with and too many conversations that mean nothing. And I know this is kind of going a little bit from what we're talking, but it isn't. It all plays into the whole effect of, you want a goal? Well, you better sacrifice. You want a goal? You better get in the gym when it's 120 degrees out. Or like here, it's brutal. Again, tonight I got to train. In the last 3 weeks in the garage, it hasn't been below 105 degrees with the humidity. It's pretty hot out right now. I don't know what it's going to be like here at 7:30 tonight, but I got to believe it's probably going to be pretty nasty. The other night when I went, I started carrying stones now, obviously, to get ready to go away. It was so hot here. It was raining so hard, and I wouldn't relent. I said, I'm going out no matter what and hitting 95 feet for 5 to 7 rounds. It got to the point where it was so bad wearing a bandana, I couldn't even see. The sweat and the rain was in my eyes. Try carrying a stone like that. I couldn't. The tacky wouldn't adhere to the stone.
Yeah.
The chalk was all mud. And I'll admit, at 150 up and down. It's not heavy, but when you can't see, when you can't hold, when you got to put it down, pick it back up and go, I refuse to relent because I want to do the biggest, nastiest lift in Iceland I've ever done in my life. And it all, and this is what I want to explain to everybody, and I'll give it back to you, Jed. You know, it's great to be weight conscious, and by that I mean I love lifting big things. I'm sure Jed does too. I've seen him. You know, I'm not going to speak for him. It's one of the greatest things you could ever do to have goals. But here's the thing. It's even greater when you can take something on when you can't see from the humidity hardly. You're sweating to the point no matter if you dry your forearms or not and go to grab that stone. It's going to slide right down the stone no matter how hard you grip it. So you got to take an extra hard grip, compact your body around that big beast as much as you can. And then one of the worst things is, you know, it's one thing to lift that thing when it's raining and it's not humid, but when you got that combination, that is brutal. So the idea of all this is remember this. No matter what happens in the gym, maybe you don't make your mark for that day, but you know what? You show up and you do it. You don't coward out. I could have went and not done that. I could have stayed in the garage and pulled it out of the rack. Right. That was what I was going to do that night, and I stuck with it. Was it the greatest lift I ever did in my life? Absolutely not. But you know what? It added up to more than probably being able to do 300 up and down to get started, five rounds, right? And I'll tell you why. Because I took something that I could have quit on, and I stuck to it, and I did it. Yeah, it might have been half of what I wanted to use, but so what? I got more out of that. I commanded my body. I learned my body even more. And it's all when I go to lift the big monster to go down that driveway, all that stuff from that starting of Monday night is going to all be into that stone and into me mentally. There is no loss with that. And I want to tell that to everybody. When you have those off nights, when everything's going wrong, don't quit. Don't get pissed off, but store it in, like I always say, the dent in your brain, store it for the next one because I got to do it again next Monday night, and it's going to be a different outcome. So I'll give it to you, Jed. That's just a little bit of wisdom. I don't know if that's going to help people, but it sure helped me, and I wanted to pass that on.
And to take that even further, man, I think those are the sessions where you really get the most improvement. Because, yeah. I mean, dude, all right, so you're supposed to go out and carry that thing down the driveway tonight. What if it's raining? Well,
exactly.
What are you going to do if you get to Iceland and it's raining? You're just going to say, well, I'm not going to, I'm not even going to try because it's raining. Give me a break. Give me a break. You got to do it. So, you know, it's like, my specialty is kind of two-hand pinch and grip sport. I've set a lot of world records on that device. Well, I go down there sometimes and that thing feels like someone greased it with goose turds, you know?
Yep.
What are you going to do if that's how it's like at a contest? Often when you go to a contest, the conditions are worse at the contest than what you trained on. So you should consider that a blessing from God that you were tested with a slippery device or, you know, high humidity or rain in your training session, because you know how you'll be able to do at the contest now because of how you had to prepare. So all that stuff, man, those hard days, those sick days, you got pink eye, you got a fever, you got a headache.
Yeah.
Great.
Yep.
Awesome. That's a blessing. Now you know what you're really capable of.
No, I agree totally. What else you got, Jed?
Dude, man, I want to work with people, dude. I would love to work with people. I would love for someone to contact me on Facebook and say, I heard you on the Eric Ferrillo show, Motivation and Muscle, and I want to work with you. And I just wish people would do that, dude. People tell me all the time they want to work on stuff. Let's do it, man. Let's get these goals accomplished. People write me 6 months apart, and both times they're working on the same thing. And I could have got them there in half the time. So please, you know, people, reach out to me, get a hold of me. Let's work on some of these things together. When you feel the rush of accomplishing your goals, there's just nothing like it, man. It's better than getting laid for the first time.
What
I mean? It's like you get laid for the first time over and over and over every time you accomplish one of these things. So, I love working with people, man. It's awesome. And I want to work with more. So please, people, reach out to me. Look me up on dieselcrew.com, thegripauthority.com. Let's do this, brother.
Well, hey, let's send you some deadlifters, man. Mm-hmm. That's what I, you know, I'd love to see you get a bunch of deadlifters and grip guys and girls and all that. You know, everybody likes doing pulls off the floor, so, you know, contact Jed. You got everything out, sir?
Yeah, man, that's pretty much it. The other thing is August of Arms is going strong, dude. It's going strong. Pretty much go to any of my recent social media posts, any of my YouTube videos, youtube.com/Jed Johnson, JEDDJOHNSON. You'll find how you can find out more about August of Arms. We're doing arm training every single day. I've got a program that lays it all out for the entire month. As much as I love grip, as much as I love deadlifts, strongman, all that stuff, you know, it all goes back to watching Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan
yep.
back in the day, man. So
yep.
I still got, you know, that that little bit of bodybuilder in me that likes to devote a whole entire month to arms every single year.
I think it's cool. Yeah, you got, as I say, you got to build those pipes, man.
Yeah, dude.
I love all that. Hey, you know something? And not only that, you're giving yourself a well-needed break, man. See,
yeah, man.
Diversion can be king.
Mm-hmm.
Diversion. People don't realize they feel they need to beat themselves with the same shit over and over again. And next thing you got is an injury or an overuse or whatever. Yeah. What you're doing there is a great thing. I mean, it's a serious thing you're doing, but you know, on the other hand, too, it frees you from a lot of the other stuff, and that's a big thing, but that's great. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's a free ebook. All you got to do is give us your email address. No spam, I promise. Also, Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle. Those are the two biggest products to date here. They're going to be all under the Motivation and Muscle media now. So that's all coming. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. As I said in the beginning, go out and look at all the material Jed and I have done together. There's a book out there written with all the material, and that's like with pretty much everybody. Check that out. It's free, and you can get, I'm telling you, if you can't draw from the well here, I don't know where you're going to draw from. It spans not only mentally, fighting, strong man, strong women, bodybuilding, rack training, stone training. I mean, history all over the place, you name it. So we're the best, and we're only going to get better. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. If there's a show you'd like Jed and I to do, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. And I'll leave you with these five things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them some words of inspiration. Five words can change your life, ladies and gentlemen. Believe me when I say that. As my mom said when we were kids, and I see this more and more, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. Look at all the people. I'm serious because I love to observe and talk to people. Look at all the people walk with their head down. I learned in martial arts when I was a young teenager. One of the things my instructor said all the time was when you walk, two things. Never have things in your ears and never look down because you're going to be a victim if you don't look out. Also, like myself, if you're going to lift tonight, today, lift it, bend it, break it, pull it, push it, press it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. As the great Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red Domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We follow no one's. And as I say on every article, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Dominate everything you do. Obliterate every goal and have more stash to go on to. And the biggest thing is the dent. When you have an off day, that dent is the 6 inches between your ears, your brain. Burn it in there. You're going to take it on and crush it the next time. Also, too, no one's ever going to clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's listened to Eminem from the beginning and who's been my guest on the show, when I hear your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. As I always say, Russell, we appreciate that. That was a very nice thing you said to me, and we will say that for the next 30 years. Jed Johnson, as always, inspiring show and a pleasure to have you on, sir.
Dude, it's my pleasure to be a part of the group, man. I really appreciate you letting me come on every few weeks. It's a lot of fun. I always have a great time, and I learn as much from you every time we talk that the people listening are learning from me. So it's a great experience all around, dude. Thank you very much.
It sure is, man, and I learned plenty from you, believe me. And you are a family. You're not group, believe me.
Thank you.
Family here. And that's the way everybody is, and we pull no punches with that. To me, we are like the Roman Legion here, man. We are marching through the forest right to the top of the mountain. That's no bullshit when I say that. I believe that wholeheartedly, and that's why I'm so happy, and I'm very blessed to have everybody around me. I thank you guys and girls all the time, and I think being thankful is going to get you more places than anything. And I mean that wholeheartedly. And we're going places, man. And I'm glad we're all on the train together. Before we sign off, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And most of all, tell 100 of your friends. As I said before, we are legion and we are coming for you. So it's going to happen either way. And don't forget, too, we stream 24/7 now. Radio Internet, man, and we are on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Shoutcast, and Aha. Check us out. We're growing, 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 and thanks, everybody, for being part of the family. Jed and I will talk to you next month, but today and every day, go out and be the best you can definitely be. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.